Today on Compassion Radio.
We're on several thousand stations a day on government FM networks with 5-10 minute slots of programs. There's no way this should happen.
Yeah.
God has chosen to open that door. We have been given time on frequencies and media the government uses for their frontline soldiers. God has opened the door for our partners to share what he has to say. It doesn't all make sense, but it doesn't have to. We speak his truth, yeah. And the harvest is up to him.
Hello friends, Bram Floria here with another report from the front lines of faith. Thanks for tuning our way today. Yesterday we played part one of a new conversation with Daniel Blett of Trans World Radio. As keeper of the flame, so to speak, of one of the world's great broadcasting ministries, he's responsible for not just the radio signal, but the safety of hundreds of media missionaries in dozens of countries. We'll drop in today for the latest on their work in the Holy Land and across the battlefields of Eastern Europe.
We haven't had an actual presence in Israel for about 6 years that's actively being pursued. Some can be said, some can't. But there are people that have lived there and worked there that are developing a future role for the gospel in Israel. And that almost always will include a significant amount of Russian programming. Right now, the Israeli ministry is on the ground.
Okay.
Right now, the beginnings of it is in social work and helping people in some of the most difficultly attacked areas in a real physical way.
Tell me how that is physical. How do you actually tangibly assist those families who have lost family members because of Hamas violence?
Some is by being there available for spiritual help. A lot of it has been helping provide for schools and hospitals.
Hmm.
And a couple cases of helping people leave that needed to.
And I imagine because of the crushing results emotionally, physically, and everything else, people would have lost hope completely if they've lost their homes and lost their families. I suppose that evacuating them to other countries, perhaps, that have the possibility of regrounding them in other families or communities would be essential. So you're thinking internationally about the way you can help meet the needs of affected Israelis.
But it's always better to work with people that are there if possible. So we're trying to follow their lead with the experience that we have.
Very good. And for those who are stuck in the war zone inside Gaza or the West Bank, when you're reaching out to them in Arabic to bring the gospel there, is it the same kind of thrust that the Ukrainians are feeling about bringing God to them in the middle of their suffering? Or what are they saying they need to hear?
Because that's in a language I don't understand as much and I don't deal with as much, I honestly don't know. But I know we have adapted several series of programs for people in disaster areas, for earthquake areas, for war areas, and for dealing with trauma. We have series that we have done in various regions of the world that they can never be exactly the same, but they can be adapted and modified and used for those areas as well.
Very good. Where else in the world has God got you doing new things?
Well, I think it's important to pray for the Russians that need hope too. People put hope in the strangest things, and that clues us. Yeah. The stock market or my insurance company. You know? We had a difficult situation where several of our people in the country had to leave for their own safety, but still trying to minister in land in the eastern part of the country, which is absolutely huge.
Yes.
We're on several thousand stations a day on government FM networks with 5-10 minute slots of programs. There's no way this should happen.
Yeah.
God has chosen to open that door. We have been given time to use on frequencies and media the government uses for their frontline soldiers. God has opened the door for our partners to share what he has to say. It doesn't all make sense, but it doesn't have to.
To us, anyway.
We speak his truth, and the harvest is up to him. And somebody asked us, you know, well, why do you want to speak hope to people in that situation? I said, you know, you speak hope to everybody. Hope is, this case, is much bigger and much further beyond spiritual hope. This is eternity. And they're facing that rather starkly, the reality of eternity.
Yeah, we face that question frequently here in our ministry. Why do you speak up for Christians who are in places like Gaza or the West Bank? And I say because they're there, but we're not just speaking up for Christians, we're speaking up for people. You know, we want to know that our compassion is truly empowered by the Holy Spirit, and his kind of compassion often doesn't seem to add up in our own math. We don't know why we would be praying for certain people, and yet God says do it anyway. He says, go help people in this place where we think, well, my impression is that only people that are against him are in that place, and yet God says go anyway. Your signal and the people that are speaking the truth, every time you tell me about what they do and how they do it and why they do it, it seems like our compassion keeps expanding for those who are unlike them or might be enemies of their own people. And yet they march right in there with courage and faith that God's going to not just multiply what they're doing, but he's going to put their hearts on his wavelength so that what they say is guaranteed to have power.
Well, isn't that kind of what prayer and reading God's word is about?
I would hope so.
We pray and God says we tell him whatever we want.
Mm-hmm.
And in our family, we've heard more than once, God is probably not theologically right, but this is what I want and I got to tell you about it. And it's just like, Bram, you've got just a couple of kids and you want to hear them even if they want something really bizarre. And God does too. And in the process of prayer is probably more about tuning our hearts to him than tuning his to us.
Indeed.
But in praying and living in his presence, we learn about his love. And once we have that, God's word says it's like the living water that flows in and the cup begins to overflow.
Yeah.
How it overflows for you is probably different than for me. There are some people that can walk up to a stop sign and witness to it. And the stop sign is thankful. That's my mother. I'm not that kind of person. But some people just know how to stand next to somebody and that person is loved, or how to ask the right question. And the bottom line is, if we're in tune with God, he'll give you compassion.
Yeah, that is a perfect distillation of it.
We can try to dig up compassion for people, and we can do it for a while because we know it's right.
Yeah.
But it's going to run out. Jesus said he's the living water that doesn't run out. He's the bread of life that we'll have forever. And thank goodness, because ours will run out pretty quick. So if your compassion and my compassion runs out, that's no surprise.
Right.
But that's why we need his.
Well, the term compassion fatigue is definitely making the circuit again around here. People are tired of hearing how they need to step up for this or that, or that our nation needs to step in and keep supporting this or that. Or people being angry about what we are propping up around the world.
Mm-hmm.
That just seems like it's self-defeatist in that we're going to lose compassion, period. We're not going to turn to God's compassion, as you said. And we're also going to lose hope that what we're doing is making a difference for good in the world. And we don't want to be in a downward spiral as a church or as a body of Christ around the world, thinking, what can be done now? So how do we turn that corner? How do we get back to what you were saying is godly compassion?
Well, I think it's easy to caught into two traps. One is that we all have to do it this way. And I don't care if you're right, left, up and down. You have your way that seems right to you. And there are things that are right and wrong. But first, you have to know what God wants for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because God gives you different talents and gifts and different passions than he has me. He has given some people much different callings in ministry than mine. And I can't say, well, that's really stupid. Mine's right.
Yeah.
Yes, mine is right. That's where God has me. And if I don't do that, then I am disobedient.
Yeah.
But if you know where God has brought you and don't do it, that's your problem. But that's the negative, I think. Just ask God what he has for you. Who today? What today? And I'm going to be listening to you. Because it's easy to get busy and noisy enough that we don't listen.
Amen. It is easy. And I want to get distracted in a way that makes me ineffectual. But I also don't want to think in terms of the only purpose I have in life is to get something done. As you said so eloquently early in our conversation, the relationship is the thing, because we will always be in the family. God has already adopted us. We have no higher calling or meaning than to be children of God, to be in the kingdom, to be princes and princesses of a king. We've already been given that. So abiding in it and seeing God work from that rather than hoping to become that is a whole major paradigm shift for the way we respond to the needs and the opportunities around us.
There's an old church saying that the chief end of man is to love God and enjoy him forever.
Yes.
If you start with that, the rest is a lot easier.
It's always funny, the first time people hear that phrase is like, well, that seems pretty simple and pretty childish. I mean, we're supposed to be happy. And then, of course, you start digging deep into that one and realize that to enjoy God is something that is profoundly deep. And understanding what enjoyment and get the sense of God's presence is a whole different animal than our language gives credit for it.
Then there's a second one. God kind of kicked me in the rear about 10 years ago because there's a very well-known phrase used in Christianity that's convenient for introverts like me. It says, witness to everybody around you, use words if necessary. And
yeah,
that's kind of like saying, feed the hungry, use food if necessary.
I like that, Daniel. And it's a challenge.
No, because I had to change to be prepared to use words.
Yeah, it's true.
Because God's word needs to be heard.
Yeah.
And usually the strongest way is through a friend or through somebody you know.
Yeah. To be brave.
Those are two things that are changing me. I have to be ready.
Okay.
It's kind of like you have to lean on the forward foot and wait for God to stop you instead of sitting still and saying, hit me in the face with it, God.
Or kick me in the butt.
You might happen.
Either way, the posture is wrong. I think that's what you're saying. And I like what you say about starting off leaning on the forward foot, which is expecting there to be something ahead. It's like racers setting up on the starting blocks for, you know, the Olympics. They get down there, they crouch, they're ready, they're poised, they're as taut as a leopard ready to pounce. They are ready for what's coming ahead because they've trained for this. They don't saunter up to the blocks and have a conversation, sip a cup of tea, and then hear a bell. Oh, I guess I should be running now. They are ready. So your people out there doing the work today through TWR, especially in war zones like Ukraine or in Gaza and the West Bank, or in countries that are closed, as far as we understand, they're in the starting blocks, if not already in the race. We got a few more minutes here to talk about some of the stories that bring it home for us. I'm sure you got a few in your pocket here. So just fill us out with some of those inspiring stories that have kept you going in the past few years.
I'm probably pretty simple, and I don't need the fancy stories in some ways. We have a lot of them. So many times somebody says, I was hopeless and I was praying, and God in a dream told me to listen on the radio at this frequency. Mm. That happens all the time.
Compassion Radio will continue to keep bringing you encouragement from the Word, inspiring stories from the front lines of faith, and awesome opportunities to make a difference for the kingdom around the world. But we need your help right now to continue doing just that. Please take a moment today to consider how you might help us to accomplish our unique media ministry and mission. Just visit our website, CompassionRadio.com, or call our toll-free order line, 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877. Again, that's Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877. And now, back to the broadcast.
So many times somebody says, I was hopeless and I was praying, and God in a dream told me to listen on the radio at this frequency. Mm. That happens all the time.
Yeah.
Or the people that wanted to go around the cube in Mecca because they really wanted to know God.
Mm-hmm.
God said, when you're done with going around the cube, go to that address and ask them for a Bible.
Mm.
And that happens. It happens all the time. And, Bram, the vast majority of what I do, the programs I work with in this region, are to regions where Christianity is either the minority, mm-hmm. a huge minority, or it's most of the countries it's greatly opposed.
Yes.
Probably for me, what is motivating is seeing the Christians that are doing it, and they take the difficulties for granted.
Yes.
I had a training session several years back with several brothers from the Stan countries in Central Asia.
Wow.
And they didn't take their difficulties lightly. But it's kind of like, well, that's part of it. You follow God, you're going to suffer. My family suffers, so we had to move.
Mm.
So we wouldn't suffer the same way, so we could live in his way instead of the way we were being forced to live. We have another station, one of the Stan countries, where they used to get people coming from neighboring countries on vacation.
Yes.
To record programs. They'd use their vacation, 2-3 weeks vacation, and come to record programs. And it got too difficult for them. So how do they, in a restricted country, figure out how to contact people from even a much more restricted country
yeah.
to let this hope be known? And I can't say a lot about how that's done, but it is done. But it's very difficult. I really, really respect the creativity of people that love God vertically and love their neighbors horizontally. And my job is to support them.
Yes.
Training, making things work well. So, you know, I live here in fairly easy to live in Western world capital city. You know, the buses run on time. There are several schools and churches to choose from. You know, I've got it pretty good.
Yeah.
So how can I help these people? How can I make ministry where we work together as good as possible so that when they go to the extremes of difficult and risky ways of doing ministry, how can I take the other burden away from them? We have one station, one outlet where they have a recording studio. It's officially part of a church. So they would do, you know, Sunday sermons, whatever. In reality, they record 5-6 languages, 7 days a week of radio broadcasting. Mm. So if anybody was ever going to come in their studio and see thousands of programming, it'd be a problem. So I store them in my archives and cloud here so they can only deal with the ones they need. Those are just some practical little things we do as Christians to do it. God says, one suffers, we all suffer. So let's lift each other up.
So suffer little children to come unto me.
Yep.
You do what's necessary to carry the burden for others so that there is no hindrance to those that God is calling to come to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so you are clearing the path. You are the one saying, prepare you the way of the Lord. I mean, that is a work you do, friend. And I'm proud of you for it.
And if you like in the Old Testament, you have people that were lifting the hands.
Yes, indeed.
In prayer during the battle so you could win the battle, because it's not something we can do alone.
And these are not just metaphors or analogies. These are the living reality of people saying, if that is what the word said Aaron did for Moses, I can do that today with my friends.
That's right.
So they do.
God hasn't gotten rid of the Old Testament yet.
No, he hasn't, but he's made it a whole lot more lively than we even thought it would be. I'll ask you to kind of round off our conversation today, Daniel, with one story, if you don't mind, going a little more personal again. Saying goodbye for now. Mm-hmm. You were called back to the States to deal with family business in the midst of all these other challenges. And we didn't talk a lot about what brought you here or why. But do you mind sharing a little bit about what God's been working in your heart and your generation dealing with the goodbyes you've had to say within your own family?
It starts a little longer ago. My parents went into missions in the late 50s, early 60s, and they were commissioned with several other people. My father passed away in 1997. And within a little over a year, my mother remarried back to somebody that had been in the same missions commissioning service she was in.
Wow.
So while he wasn't my father, his stepfather, his very trusted and dear friend who had founded churches in two countries, served over 20 years as a missionary in two different countries, founded churches where the average educational level was maybe fifth grade and trained church leaders.
Hmm.
And in the U.S. had a role of leadership in his local church and of mentoring many other ministers and missionaries. So he passed away.
Hmm.
And so we all got to go honor his life. I went back to the U.S. to celebrate the life and ministry and family and love for my stepfather and with my siblings, my mother and his family, the joys and the sadnesses, and they're never going to match out like the Force in Star Wars. You have incredible 110% sorrow and you have 100% laughing because of things you remember.
Yeah.
So I am very thankful for having a good patterns around me where I can learn.
Yes.
And see the reality of ministry of normal people doing great things.
Hmm.
From a farm boy from Ohio, planting probably a dozen churches in two different countries, teaching Bible courses, training pastors, just because he was willing to go.
Hmm. You've had some good patterns and some good love in your life, Daniel. I'm very glad that God's provided that for you, especially knowing the kind of struggles and faith crises that you and your family would go through in the past few years. God's been very good to you in the hurt. And in the times of joy, it seems like he's training you, being the introvert that you are, to be able to be more and more expressive about that joy. That's always encouraging to me, too, that introverts, and I actually am in that camp. People don't believe it at times because of where I work and sit in front of a microphone most of the time. But I have that tendency as well. I would be much happier just to be off in a hole somewhere, away from the tumult and the weirdness of the world at times. But he calls me out of that. And God obviously called you out of that place, and he's given you a spirit of being able to see how he has loved you through the people he's given you. And you're able to give testimony to that.
More than I could ever ask for.
Fair enough. And lastly, how is this new life and this new marriage and this new friendship that is for life budding. I mean, you're coming up on, what, 2 or 3 years of knowing and loving each other.
Almost.
Yeah.
And actually, December, Christmas will be 1 year in this new country.
There you go. Together, it's a new family.
So there's very little that hasn't changed.
I hear that.
It's a miracle to have anyone once willing to share their life with you, Graham. To have it twice is more than we could ever ask
for. God bless you for it. And I look forward to hearing more from your updates. And you have your own personal family update you send to your supporters and your friends that are always curious about your TWR work. What else do we need to know at Compassion Radio about what TWR is about and what you're doing there that we should be praying for?
I think if you just spend a little time thinking, write out a piece of paper what it involves to be in, takes to be involved in media. It might take things like transmitter time needs to be paid for. You know, people's computer to make a small miniature studio in their kitchen needs to get paid for. Pray for listeners as they come and as their hearts are prepared before they come. Pray for the hearts of the producers as they're listening to the Holy Spirit and living with people, seeing what needs to be done. And my job is, I look at kind of connecting the heart of the producer to the heart of the listener and just letting it go straight through. Pray that people are ready to hear his word in whatever way, so clearly that we don't get in the way.
I'd be glad to encourage our listeners to Compassion Radio to be praying for not just the work, but God's Spirit at work in the lives of people at both ends of that mic. That he's doing his job of loving on people and sending miraculous messages straight through to the hearts of people that you will someday find out more about. In this life or in the life to come, I'm sure we'll be hearing endless stories of how the gospel came to life and hearts around this world because of your faithfulness over the years, Daniel. Thank you for doing it.
Yes. And then you can pray for people who follow up with the responses.
Okay.
It's probably not too surprising that counseling and mentoring and intercession and mediation are hugely on the rise as topics of training for Christian leaders in these areas.
Yes.
And topics for what we're doing in media.
Indeed. Yes, the God raised up the peacemakers. All good, Daniel. Thank you so much for sharing just a little bit of what's been happening the past year and a half. We are certainly praying about the continuing outreach and opportunities for reaching the nations that are stuck in war zones because of the impudence or arrogance or even evil of certain men that want to conquer. And that God's love itself will conquer the hearts of his people so much that that love is irrefutable and is unstoppable in the nations where he chooses to turn you loose to bring his message to people's hearts. Don't give up, my friend. We are praying for you.
Thank you very much, Graham.
My thanks to Daniel Pallette of Transworld Radio. He's a great voice and a great apologist for what God's doing in this generation all across the world. You can find out more about Transworld Radio from a link on our website in today's podcast page. The plagues of Satan's curse.
fading splendor, earth and heaven will bow.
Compassion Radio is still the radio voice of the global church, and that's completely due to the Lord's provision through you. Give online today at CompassionRadio.com or call us at 1-800-868-2478
or write us P.O. Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877.